vivo qualitative data analysis software empowers researchers around the world to discover rich insights within their qualitative data. This podcast gives you unique insights into the methods, the processes, and the passions of researchers. Welcome to the InVivo podcast, Between the Data. Welcome to the InVivo podcast, Between the Data. I'm Stacey Penna, the Engagement and Enablement Director at LumaVero. Today's podcast is with Dr. Sanna Jansen, Senior Lecturer at the University of Strathclyde, who was a winner of the 2022 LumaVero Early Career Researchers Grant, which awards $25,000 over 2 years. So welcome, Sanna. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Stacey, and thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, and congratulations on being the 2022 winner.
Yeah, thank you. That's been a very nice award to have, for sure.
So to start off, I just wanted to understand, like, why did you decide to apply for the grant?
Yeah, good question. So for a while, I had been thinking a little bit about doing a mixed method study, which means that I was going to combine my strength in quantitative data and the measurement of physical activity, sedentary behavior, and sleep with a more qualitative part that would be looking at what parents saw as barriers and facilitators for their children to engage in these behaviors. But what I was struggling with is to find a funding body that was seeing the value of this very early intervention work and that was willing to fund it. So when I came across the QSR Early Career Research Award, I thought, why not give it a shot? What do I have to lose? And luckily, QSR did see the value of this project and has funded me.
Great. Yeah, no, your proposal was very good, really interesting. And we like the mixed methods aspect of it too, which we'll get into. So can you describe what the application process was like for you?
Yeah, sure. So writing the application itself is always a bit of a back and forth program. You write a lot of drafts, you send it off to colleagues, obviously, who gave you feedback, which is very valuable and strengthened your application. So that's nothing really unusual. But what was really helpful was the guidance that was online from QSR, which really highlighted what was expected from each section. So that makes it much easier for you to write these individual sections and write the application. And then on a technical slash administrative part, what was also very good is that, like, again, the guidance was good, but the system online was really user-friendly and really easy to use. And again, that made it so much easier to submit this grant and probably was one of the more straightforward applications I've submitted. So yeah, that was really, really pleasant.
Oh, well, that's good to know. And we'll be using the same application for the 2024 so grant. So that's good. How did you decide on your research topic?
The topic stems, like, since I started my PhD, I've been working in the early years. So the early years is like the 3 to 4 year old children. So we in Scotland, we call that the preschoolers. And I've always had a keen interest in making sure that children of that age could engage with, like, physical activity, could be active, could limit the time on the screen. So I've always had a really big interest in that. But unfortunately, what we saw is that despite, for example, the World Health Organization, as well as several countries across the world, putting out guidelines around these behaviors, which state children should be active for at least 3 hours, they should limit their screen time, they should obtain good and sufficient sleep, obviously. And what we saw was kids weren't active enough. They do spend a fair bit of time on their screens, even at the age of 3 to 4. And some might even struggle to get sufficient and good quality sleep. So that made me think that we need to do something about that, and we need to possibly develop interventions and programs that can target these behaviors in the early years. But before we can actually do that, we need to understand what is it that's influencing the family lifestyle and that makes it hard for kids to engage in physical activity, for example. And that's where my study came about. So I really am after trying to understand, okay, what are the factors in a family life, and especially in those in the more deprived communities within Scotland, because we do still see a big difference in, like, facilities they have, for example, where if you go in the well-off, like, communities, you see very nice parks, you know, very safe parks. Go to the more deprived areas in Scotland and you'll see parks that you probably wouldn't let your children play in. So it's trying to understand all these factors to then help and develop interventions that target these communities.
That's great. And that was, you said that was part of your PhD work?
My PhD work was more about like, how do we actually measure the behaviors? So I did a lot of research about like, how can we objectively measure these behaviors? Because we can obviously ask parents, how active was your child? But as you can imagine, they're not with their child 24/7, especially at the 3 to 4 year old age. That's when they go to preschools. So they don't know what's happening at the preschool. So to report that is very hard. And therefore, we want monitors, which is what we will be using in this research study, to objectively tell us what is it that, like, how active are they? How much do they sit? You know, screen time is a tricky one. You still need to ask the parents because that's harder to measure. But definitely physical activity, sleep, we can objectively measure nowadays.
Great. Thank you. So what are the research methods you're using for the study?
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, it's very much mixed methods approach. So we do a quantitative part and then we have a qualitative data collection part. So the quantitative data that we will collect, we will be using these monitors I was talking about. So we call them accelerometers, and you can kind of look at them as like advanced speedometers, if that makes sense. Just a little bit more advanced, obviously. And we also will use some parent questionnaire data just to make sure that we also capture the time they spend on screens, because like I said, that's harder to measure with these monitors. And once they've done that, we then have a qualitative data collection part in which we will use the asynchronous remote communities method. So that means that participants, in this case, the parents, will be asked to engage on an online platform and join a discussion group in which they complete several different activities for the duration of 6 weeks. And after that, we will then pull that data off and hopefully get a better understanding of what the barriers and facilitators of these behaviors are.
This podcast is sponsored by Lumavero, developers of Invivo and other software designed by and for data experts to illuminate powerful new insights that help customers make decisions with confidence. If you're looking for a better way to analyze and manage qualitative data, try using Invivo with the 14-day trial.
So for the device, the children wear it? Like, can you describe how it works?
Yeah. So it's the size of a pedometer. And then what they will do is that it will be on a waistband. So they will just put it on their waist for 5 days and they wear it day and night. The only time they probably take it off is if they have a bath. They are meant to be waterproof, but we're not quite trusty on that. So we do take them, like we do ask them to take it off when they're in the bath or they go swimming, but they also complete a diary so that we know this is when it was taken off and this is the reason for, because if they take it off for swimming, that's obviously different than when they take it off for a bath. So we want to include that activity. So, and then after 5 days, they can just take it off, put it in a prepaid envelope and it gets sent back to us. And that's when we download the data and we will process and take the next steps.
And with the asynchronous discussion board, will the parents see other parents' comments or will it be separated?
No. So there will be about 6 to 7 parents in that discussion group. And the idea is that they will see each other's comments because that hopefully will engage like more of the discussion and they might be able to reflect on someone else's ideas, thinking and go, yes, I agree with that. Or no, that's not the same for us. So they will definitely see that, but it will stay within that group of 6 or 7 parents. And it's very clear, like we make it very clear to them that everything they say is obviously confidential. It's not being allowed to share that out with the group, et cetera.
Okay, great. Thanks for explaining that. So you mentioned the data you'll be collecting, but how do you recruit participants? Because that, I mean, when you're dealing with young kids and parents and, you know, how are you going to do that? Yeah.
So that's definitely the hardest part of the whole study, I think. We're currently in the data, like in the recruitment phase, as well as like starting our first phase group. But the way we recruit is that we're looking to recruit 20 to 30 low-income families. And we've asked some nurseries that are located in the lower income areas in Scotland for help. So what they are doing is they've got recruitment posters that they will put up on their notice boards. They will post it on their social media and they're like encouraging parents to sign up for this study. We have also posted it on our own social media just to widen the spread and get parents involved like that. When parents are interested, they're asked to scan the QR code, for example, that's on the poster, or there will be a web link that they can click on. They will click on that and they will be taken to an information and consent form. That information form also has a little video that really explains what is the study about, what do we expect from you, you know, what do we do with the data, etc. If they're happy, they sign the consent form, they do the first part in that, they will fill in their questionnaire, and then they get sent an activity monitor and enrolled into the Facebook groups.
Do you have any participants yet that you're working
with? So the first group of participants have the monitor as we speak. So they're wearing it right now. And the Facebook group will start now. I have to say this correct. I think it's next Monday. We'd have to ask my research assistant for that. But I'm pretty sure it's next Monday. We'll start the first Facebook group. And we're still obviously recruiting. So as soon as we then have another group of participants ready, they will go through that same mm-hmm. process.
And do the participants get compensated in any way?
Yes. So once they've completed everything, we will be giving them a gift voucher. So they'll get compensated for that time okay. and as a general thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how do you plan on analyzing both your quantitative and qualitative data?
So the quantitative data is a very simple analysis. We've only got a small group, so you can't do too much really complicated analysis with that. So we will do some descriptive analysis, which shows how active these kids are, how much time they spend on screens, etc. But we will also use the quantitative data to create personalized visualizations for the parents to look at. And then the quantitative data, once the six-week process is over, we will scrape that off the internet, and we will then use Brown and Clark's approach to thematic qualitative data analysis. So that means we will identify, code, and synthesize our data into specific teams. And hopefully these teams will lead to like overarching factors that we see that are either barriers or facilitators to being active, to limiting screen time, to obtaining sufficient sleep.
And have you started working in vivo with this yet, or you're going to wait till you have the data?
So we'll have to wait until the first few weeks are done. We don't have to wait until the end of the 6 weeks, but like we will have to have some data. So say the first 3 weeks, that's when we probably start scraping it off mm-hmm. and start looking at some of the first bits of data.
Mm-hmm. Exciting.
Yes, definitely.
close.
I know.
And so how long so that you want, like you said, 20 to 30 participants, families. Yeah. And then, so how long do you think that will, like the whole research process take?
Yeah, so it's 6 weeks. So we have groups of 6 to 7 participants. So we probably have about 4 groups mm-hmm. and each group will last, like they will go for 6 weeks. Now, originally I planned these groups to be back to back. But if recruitment goes well and say in the next 2 weeks, we've got another 7 ready to go, then we will start that Facebook group simultaneously, like mm-hmm. running with the other one. So it's a little bit up in the air how long, but the maximum would probably be, what is that, 4 times 6? So 20, like so half a year, I would say mm-hmm. that we're busy with data collection. But while that's running, once the first group is ready, you can do some analysis. So it's kind of they go hand in hand,
right?
We swap between them as mm-hmm. we see fit. So yeah. It all depends a little bit on like how well recruitment goes.
Mm-hmm. Great. It sounds like it's going pretty well so far. So that's
good. So definitely the first round, we did get enough, like, well, we didn't want too much initially because we still like trying things and you never want to have them all at once. So we were happy with what we got so far. And we're filling up the second group as we speak. So we'll be good.
Great. So how do you plan on using in vivo for your study?
Well, without in vivo, I don't think I would be doing this study. it plays a massive role, not just for the funding, by the way, but it plays a massive role in our data analysis. So it makes the process of conducting the thematic analysis much easier because you can tag the teams, you know, you can sort it all in a very logical way and make it much more efficient to do that process. It also provides us with the opportunity to not just deal with text, but for example, if participants upload a photo of something that they ran into that was a barrier or that really assisted them to be active, then we can include that photo in our analysis. And the same if someone decided to upload a voice note or something, it just can handle a lot of different types of files, which is really useful for us because we don't know exactly, like it's not just going to be text, for example. So we need to be able to deal with all these different formats. And like I said, without in vivo, this project would probably not be happening because it would take us much, much longer to actually analyze all that data because you would have to do it by hand almost.
Yes, that's not easy. Yeah. And just, I don't know if you're aware, but we actually have on our, now it's lumavero.com website, some recordings of how to use Brown and Clark's thematic analysis with Invivo. So we have a trainer who shows how you can, you know, use Invivo to you go through that process. So I'll send you a link unless you've seen it already.
I have seen them actually.
Oh, good. Good.
And they are very useful. I'm actually going to send them on to, I've got some students working on this project as well. So it will be useful for them to just work through that and see them, see how you do it for sure. Yeah.
So how are you working with your research team?
Yeah. So I've got, at the moment, so as part of the grant, I have one research assistant, Andy Liel. I always say his last name wrong. But Andy, so he's my research assistant and he's been great in like helping run this project. So I oversee the project, but he kind of does a lot of the work on the ground. He talks to the nurseries, he recruits, he's running the Facebook groups, etc. And then next to that, we always have undergraduate students on the BSc Sport and Physical Activity that are in the fourth year honors degree and they need to do a project. So I've got two of those students also working on this project who will be looking at some of the qualitative data, probably from just one Facebook group because they just don't have the time to like get all of them in, but it will give them a great experience in analyzing qualitative research. But also it's a great help to us in that we've got some students involved that can do some of the work for us as well. So that's the little research group. Oh no, and then I've got another PhD student I forgot about, and she will also be using some of the qualitative work, but her focus is more on screen time. So she will probably be pulling out a little bit more the screen time data, where the project obviously is about the three movement behaviors as a whole.
Great. Thank you for sharing that.
We'll take a short break from the podcast. To learn more about Dr. Jansen's research, visit the University of Strathclyde's website.
So part of the grant was explaining how your research is innovative. So how would you describe your research being innovative?
Yeah, I think there's two parts to the innovativeness of my research, I guess. So embracing it via the topic and also via the methodology. So this is the first study to focus on parents, various facilitators of these movement behaviors in the low-income families. So that's quite unique. I'm very innovative. And our aim is then to use innovative methods to really engage with these parents. So one of that is the asynchronous communities methods, which has been shown to help in reaching harder to reach communities. It takes away barriers like travel, like, you know, having time to come to the university to engage in face-to-face focus groups. So the method that we are using, they can engage with this at any time they want, you know, be that at night, if they work night shifts, that can be done, you know, during the day. So they can just engage whenever they want and they don't have to travel, which saves time. But we're also, like I said, we're using quantitative and qualitative data, and the quantitative data is really used to encourage parents to reflect on the behaviors of their children. So I mentioned it earlier, but we will use the quantitative data to make individualized, personalized activity profiles. So the way you need to imagine that is that you will see a graph for your child for every day that tells you how much time they spend being active, how much time they were on a screen, and how much time they slept. And we then put that against the guidelines. So they can see exactly like, yep, my child was active enough, or no, that day was maybe that we weren't as active. And then that hopefully helps them reflect on why was it that on, say, Wednesday, they were really active, but on Saturday, we see that they weren't meeting the guidelines. And hopefully that visual really helps them think about that and reflect on that. And we get some more detailed information.
And then how will you share that visual with the parents?
So once the monitors have been sent back to us, we can quite quickly create those visuals for the individual parents, and they then get shared via email. So we have a lot of email contact with them. So they get shared via email, and then in the online Facebook groups, there will be tasks that go, so you've received your personalized individual like graphic. What did you think about it? Did you find it useful? What did you take away from that? Et cetera, et cetera. So we really like try to pinpoint down on that to make them think a bit more about it.
Neat. I'm excited to see what you find. That'll be our next podcast. Well, yeah. when your studies done, we'll talk and find out what you found. So my last question is, what's one piece of advice would you give a researcher working and applying for the QSR Early Career Researcher Grant?
Yeah, good question. I think don't hesitate and be ambitious and innovative. So quite often as early careers, we might be a bit shy is not the right word, but you might be daunted by what's ahead, or you think you're not good enough. And let me tell you, I had very little qualitative research experience, as you know, Stacey, but it didn't put me off of putting this in. And actually, I'm learning a lot. I'm teaching a lot of like a team, a lot of quantitative skills, but I'm also learning a lot myself, which is really nice. And I would say give yourself enough time to develop the application and seek, you know, feedback from your colleagues, from your mentors, which will definitely improve your work. And the grant is just a great way to develop your own research, to obtain leadership skills as well, but also, like I said, learn new skills yourself and work in a field that you're passionate about, you know, instead of maybe the professor that you're working with. You can actually do your own stuff. So yeah, apply is what I would say.
Go for it.
Yeah, definitely.
So thank you, Sana, for talking with us. And thanks to those tuning in. Listeners, if you learn more about the QSR, now LumaVero, Early Career Research Grant winner, we'd appreciate your support by rating and subscribing to the InVivo podcast. This helps us to share these amazing narratives with the research community. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us for Between the Data. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to hear more about InVivo podcasts and community events, please visit go.invivobyqsr.com/community or email me, Stacey Penna, at s.penna, P-E-N-N-A, at qsrinternational.com.